a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Senate Ag and Natural Resources Committee will come to order quickly so that we have a quorum, because I do know that a lot of you have bills elsewhere, and for those of you in the audience, that's what sometimes happens during sessions, that some of our committee members are gone presenting their bills in other committees, and so we have to work around schedules. So I do have a quorum, I believe. At this time, the Secretary will call the roll. Bagalka, Frerichs, Frizzly,
here.
Garnas, Hansen,
here.
Roden,
here.
Valley, Maher,
here.
Krebs,
here.
A quorum is present. Just a reminder for those of you that are here in the audience, we do want to remind you to turn your cell phones off, and we're glad that you're here in your house seeing your government in action. For those of you that are testifying today, it's a reminder to sign in at the back podium to for testimony, and then the pages will help for distribution. And I believe we have two new pages this week. There's Sophie Iverson from Murdo and Victoria Kinkler from Oneida. Would you please stand and welcome? Good. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Roden, seconded by Maher. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. On the agenda today for the Senate Ag Committee is the confirmation appointment of Walter Bones from Turner County to the position of Secretary of Department of Ag. For those testifying in favor of the appointment, would you please join us at the front? Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. Dusty Johnson. I'm Chief of Staff to Governor Dennis Dugard. Governor wanted me to spend just a moment introducing Secretary Bones. I don't think anybody would doubt that Walt Bones is a man of incredible integrity. He's a successful businessman. He really understands the nature of agriculture in this state in a way that few people do. I would like to be able to sit here today and say, oh, well, during the transition process, we found this undiscovered star. We really deserve the credit for finding this diamond in the rough. The reality is that isn't true. Everybody in agriculture seems to know Walt Bones. Everybody in the leadership of agriculture is a big fan of his. When we were through the process, and we were in the process of trying to find good candidates, we actually had a couple of candidates call and say, oh, gosh, I didn't know Walt Bones was in the candidate pool. If Walt Bones is in the candidate pool, I don't want to be considered. That honestly happened. Two different people called me. And then after the governor had decided to hire Secretary Bones, the two other finalists called me and said, you know what, Walt Bones is the right pick. I'd love that job, but I couldn't do as good a job as Walt Bones would do. And I got to tell you, that means a lot when people who are competing against you stand up and say, no, you are going to be a great Secretary of Agriculture, and it's good for South Dakota you were hired. I just can't think of any grander praise than that. And so with that, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, if it's all right with you, we'd like to have Secretary Bones come up and give you an overview of his experience. And I would just ask on behalf of Governor Dugard that you give his appointment favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you. First of all, Chief of Staff Dusty, for a great introduction. That's kind of a hard one to follow. And I appreciate all that. I thank you for your time this morning. And I would first like to introduce my wife. This is back there. My wife, Jan, is here this morning. Without her support and without the support of the family that I have back home, is just a little bit of history. I farm with two brothers, brother-in-law, and three nephews. The nephews are the fifth generation in our farm. My great-grandfather homesteaded in the Parker area in 1879. And so the governor wanted a ag secretary straight off the farm, and that's exactly what he's got. At 35 years, that's what I've been doing since I got out of college. And so when Dusty, Chief of Staff Johnson called and asked me for the opportunity and said, just send us a resume. I frankly had never applied for a job in my life. I had no resume. So this is all new to me in some respects, but at the same time, agriculture is not. This is just a fantastic opportunity and one that when presented, how could you turn it down? State's greatest industry, some of the greatest people in our state are involved with the whole industry. I fully believe that our best times are still ahead of us. We have challenges. We have a number of things that we're watching. We want to make sure that we're sending the right signals to folks that want to partake in production agriculture in our state. And we have there's a number of other parts of the department, obviously, that I'm still learning about, and so we're looking after our citizens and looking after our forests and conservation, and there's a whole realm of things that are involved with the Department of Agriculture, and I'm just thrilled to just have that opportunity to serve you folks, to serve the citizens of our state, but first and foremost to serve agriculture. So.
Thank you, Mr. Bones.
Any questions?
Are there questions from the committee? Senator Maher?
Madam Chair, I've got to run to another committee meeting here, but start out, where was your farm located at?
It's down in the Parker area, southwest of Sioux Falls, okay. Northeast of Parker.
All right. Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Follow-up.
Have you ever spent much time in northwestern South Dakota, Harding County, Perkins County? Are you familiar with the ag operations out there? And then also maybe a little explanation or your thoughts on some of the reservation issues that are around the state when it comes to agriculture.
Mr. Bones?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Senator Maher, one of the first things that I did even before officially taking residence here was take a trip out west because, no, I am from the southeastern part of the state. I had some experience with the South Dakota Ag and Rural Leadership Program where we learned about some forestry issues and some of the West River water issues and land issues and that type of thing. But, again, I spent 2 days and started down the Kanata Basin, visited with a couple of ranchers down there. They were very typical South Dakotans. You know, we were there in the middle of the night, and they opened up their homes and had cookies and treats and everything for us. But talked about some of the prairie dog issues, some of the grazing issues that they have. And then went up into the north of the Buffalo area there and sat down with a couple ranchers and, again, continue those discussions. So that's an area that I'm hoping to learn more about. And we've got some great staff here at our Department of Ag, too, that have been involved with a number of those issues. And so, you know, they're getting me up to speed on them.
Further questions of the committee? Further questions of the committee? Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's been a pleasure for me to get to know you better in this last few weeks. And I know a little bit about your operation, but not as much as I would like to. I think could you just describe? I think you know I know that animal agriculture has been a very important portion of your total operation, and I think I know you know in years past. But bring me up to date,
okay, Madam Chairman. Thank you, Senator Hansen. Yeah, we don't get tired about talking about our own farms, I don't think, so I appreciate that. I graduated from Iowa State University with an animal science degree and so came back and kind of ran our cattle operation. I've got, again, two brothers and a brother-in-law, and there are four of us farm in a partnership we call Hexad Farms. And my brother Jim kind of oversees our farming operation. We've corn, soybeans, wheat, alfalfa, some specialty crops, cover crops, you know, a few little things like that. We tried to dabble in a little bit and tried some of that. My brother Steve kind of oversees our grain elevator, and we had kind of a feed business, but have kind of backed out of that. We have a custom feed yard where we feed about 2,000 head of cattle. My brother-in-law, Lyle Van Hove, is our bookkeeper and kind of comptroller. And we've got a part owner of a dairy, the Turner County Dairy down there. They milk about 2,000 cows in two different locations. So we've tried a number of different things. One of our latest projects that we had some folks come to us and wanted to put a small farm-scale ethanol plant on our farm. And so I've kind of morphed into a couple different roles over the last 30-some years, and so I kind of been working on some of these special projects. And so that was kind of something we worked on that I've been working on personally, I guess, over the last couple of years. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to, but we're going to keep trying. You bet.
Further questions of the committee? Thank you, Mr. Bones.
Thank you very much.
At this time, we'll move for discussion on the committee and our action. Senator Roden.
Madam Chair, I move we advise and consent an appointment of Walt Bones.
There's an advise consent motion by Senator Roden, seconded by Senator Maher. Comments on the advise and consent motion?
Well, just briefly, Madam Chair, I've had the opportunity in the last couple of years to serve on the advisory task force for productivity with Walt, and had a chance to rub shoulders with him. And I think when his name came up, when I first heard of his name in relation to a pick for Secretary of Ag, I kind of went, why didn't I think of Walt? He's, in my mind, at least the perfect choice for the state and the times we're in and his experience, so I urge your support.
Further discussion on the advise and consent motion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the advise and consent motion for the appointment of Secretary of Department of Ag for Walt Bones will say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bagalka?
Aye.
Frerichs? Frisley?
Aye.
Garnas? Hansen?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Krebs?
Aye.
Secretary Bones, we appreciate your appointment, and we look forward to working with you here in the Senate Ag Committee. Senator Hansen.
May I have personal privilege?
Absolutely.
You know, today is business day in the legislature, and we have guests from many communities, but I'm very happy to be able to welcome many of the people from the Huron Chamber of Commerce who are visiting here at the most important committee that's taking place right now. And welcome. We're very happy to have you here.
Please stand. Those of you from Huron. Good. Welcome. We have a great senator here, and we appreciate you coming to watch him in action. He does a lot of great work, and we are happy to have him on the Ag Committee. It's a personal privilege, Senator Valley.
Well, I'm not going to let Senator Hansen get away with that and not do the same, Madam Chair. Just down the river, we have Mitchell, and I see several people from the Chamber in Mitchell. So I would like to commend them for coming up today for the Chamber Commerce Day, and would like to introduce them also.
Good. Please stand for Mitchell. Good turnout. Great. Good. We're glad you're here. We appreciate, again, having you see us in action and seeing what your taxpayers do. Moving on, the agenda item for Senate Ag is House Bill 1098, which is an act to revise the limitation on the increases or decreases that may be made to the total taxable value of cropland and non-cropland. We have heard and had prior testimony for proponent and opponent hearings. I don't know if Representative Dennert is here. There you are, Representative Dennert. I would welcome you back to open up on the floor. I know Senator Roden has an amendment, but I would allow you to open up the conversation back up, and then we'll move the amendment as well. So, Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Representative Paul Dennert, Brown County, District 2, Brown and Spink County. I just got to get the plug in, the two largest ag-producing counties in the state. Although I was really amazed last week when I got the paper, North Dakota had more total production than South Dakota last year, which kind of surprised me in ag production. But with that said, Madam Chair, I think the proponent and opponent discussion was held, and you deferred action, and thank you. With the information I gathered with that, I went back and stepped back, visited with Senator Roden and a few people, and Madam Chair, let's turn it over to Senator Roden and then proceed, if that would be the protocol.
Thank you, Representative. At this time, I believe there's an amendment before you, so I'd take a motion to move that amendment.
Madam Chair.
Senator Roden.
Madam Chair, I move Amendment 1098 FC.
Second.
A motion to amend 1098 with 1098 FC moved by Senator Roden, seconded by Senator Garnos. Comments on that motion to amend, Senator Roden?
Well, Madam Chair, I would I have moved the amendment for purpose of discussion, and so I would defer back to Representative Dennert to make further comment before, and I'll hold comments till later.
We'll just toss this right back to you, Representative Dennert. And then what we'll do is at that point, then we'll have some committee discussion at that point and questions.
And Madam Chair, I would assume then you'll probably take some further proponents and opponents to the amended version before final action. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Well, as we, that's plenty loud, isn't it? As we went into discussion, I think it was probably week before last on this particular bill, And I don't know if we have to rehash everything, but as you see in this amendment, we have to cross out the taxes payable 2011 and 12 because already our 11 assessments are ready to go, be mailed out. And I think my director said they're coming next Friday, and I'm holding my breath, Madam Chair. But anyway, so the 11's assessments are out there, so we cannot assume that this bill will have any effect on 12's taxes payable 12. So you see we crossed out 11 and 12. And then as I looked at the bill and the discussion that was had is probably why have an effect on the counties that are, you know, within 20-30% range in the 10% cap. Why raise them to 12? I mean, the original statute said, you know, that their cap was at 10%. So what I did is I visited with Senator Roden and some different people and really simplified the bill for crop and non-crop. And we just looked at the high counties, the ones that are quite far behind. And I did a little calculation in 2010, although I just said North Dakota had more total production than we did. But if you look across the state, the production in 2010 is going to, I'm sure, increase the value of, you know, the 8-year Olympic average. I'm sure it's going to make it go up. I predict in Brown County it could possibly be one of the highest gross production years that we've ever seen in Brown County when we plug it in. And I think several counties across the state will be there. And just for your information, Brown County is 66% behind at this time. And if we see another increase, they'll probably, with the 10% cap, they'll probably be 72% behind. I do not know till the final numbers are in. What I've also did, Madam Chair and members of the committee, I visited with a few, not all, a few of the at-large members of the task force. And I asked them just straight out if they were offended that I proposed this this bill this year at this time, because is this an issue that the task force should take instead of the legislature? I think we alluded to at the previous meeting that the task force kind of looked at it, discussed it, and we asked revenue to give us some projection out in the gross production. And barring a disaster, ladies and gentlemen, members of the committee, the production's going to go up, you know, unless we have an all-out disaster. But with that in mind, I just took Brown County and Meade County, and I didn't hand out to you. I know you'll trust my words, and I think probably somebody behind me might agree with me. But if I just take Brown and Meade County, they're 60-some percent behind. If they had zero production the next 3 years with a 10% cap, they'd come in pretty close to where they're supposed to be. Zero production the next 3 years. So for that reason, ladies and gentlemen, I can't see any reason why we need to wait for more production history before we implement this change. As you can see, this change affects both crop and non-crop. It affects the up and down decreases because there's some non-crop that are too high too, and there's some probably that need to go down more than 10%. So I think the bill, the amended bill, is a real simplification of the legislation, and in the counties that might be 30% behind might stay 30, but they could pop in and be affected by this legislation a year or two. And if we're looking at 2013 taxes payable with this bill, if we don't pass the bill, we'd be looking at 2014 and then you're 3 years from the drop-off date. So with that, ladies and gentlemen of the committee, I'll close my testimony, stand by for questions, and we'll have a final comment then probably at the end. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Dennard. At this time, I am going to open the testimony back up for proponent and opponent testimony since we have a pretty strong and new amendment. So I'm going to call for further proponent testimony at this time.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the committee, Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation. We think this was a good compromise. It was what this bill does now with the amendment is it focuses on just the counties that are furthest behind, and it makes a moderate change for those counties. So instead of sort of the tiered system that was in the past, this bill focuses like a laser on the counties that are furthest behind and only has a 15% change for them. So we think that this is a good compromise. We'd ask for you to support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kenyon. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1098. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1098. Further proponent testimony to House Bill 1098. Seeing none, moving to opponent testimony to House Bill 1098. Opponent testimony to House Bill 1098. Opponent testimony to House Bill 1098. Seeing none, I will. There's no opponents. But if you have any comments, Representative Dennard, or I can open up to the committee. Do you have anything else? I'll let you add there, Representative Dennard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I was going to start taking notes, maybe to contradict some of the opponent. But as I think Department of Revenue, Mr. Kenyon, stated, kind of a compromise issue. I guess the other reason I wanted to come up, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. This bill affects Representative Dennard in a negative way because I'm in a county that's 66% behind. By opening this up, I'm just agreeing that my assessed value is going to go up 15% for the next 3, 4, 5 years. I do have more cropland than grassland, so this bill will affect me and my operation, probably my family's operation, and a lot of crop owners in Brown County. But ladies and gentlemen, I will stand the heat of that if need be, because I don't represent just the crop people in Brown County and Spink County and in South Dakota. I represent the grassland people in this state and county and back to my county. This, to me, is a fairness in an equalization process. In Brown County, non-crop is at its value right today. Crop is 66% behind. I guess I didn't pin Mr. Kenyon down this morning. That creates a tax shift payable to the non-crop people in Brown County and other counties. Don't even want to pick a number. It might not be that great in Brown County, but still it's a tax shift to the non-crop people in Brown County and the counties that are further behind by where their non-crop is at full value and their crop is that far behind. So I think it's a fairness and an equalization, and I think it gives the directors of equalization another opportunity to make local adjustments based on that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative Dennard. And for those in the audience, I allowed rebuttal action from and testimony from Representative Dennard just because we did have opponent testimony held earlier in the week. We had opponents from South Dakota Wheat, Farm Bureau, Meade County Assessor, and Stock Growers Association. So just to let you know on the process here. At this time, then, I'm going to move and open up for committee questions. And we do have some of those folks here in the audience and in the room if you'd like to ask some of those questions. Questions of the committee? Questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'll move to committee discussion and or action. I believe we probably held our questions earlier when we heard the testimony earlier. So at this time, I'm going to move to committee discussion.
Madam Chair.
Yes. We do have an amendment here, too, by the way, before us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes. Senator Roden.
Well, I will start by just offering a few comments, and I'm going to not make a motion. I've kind of waffled and waned on the idea of this amendment. Initially opposed the bill as it was written. Thought that it was worth having the conversation to look at an amendment that only goes to the most extreme counties as far as the production being behind. A few things I want to point out to the committee. First of all, I think we've talked about the fact that we put the oversight committee in place for a reason, and I think that's a legitimate argument that this discussion should take place and be vetted through that committee. I understand the legitimacy of trying to get a head start on addressing this problem. But looking at it from that perspective, we also have other options available to us and recommendations that can be brought forward through that committee. First of all, we've talked a lot about the deadline of 2017 when we have a big bubble at the end of the day if we don't address these under assessments. Well, if that's the worst case scenario, I would submit that through that vetting process and the advisory task force, we could extend those years. So if the worst case scenario that we face at the end of the day is a 10% increase for however long, if we extend that out for an eternity, if that's the worst case scenario, I'm not saying that that would be, but if that's the worst case scenario, then we extend a 10% cap for another however many years. I think that maybe a more pertinent solution and a more fair one would have, and possibly a mistake that we made with the implementation, is the input data that we used originally on the 8-year Olympic average. If you recall, when we set up the 8-year Olympic average through our oversight committee, those first 2 or 3 years we had $2 corn, and we discussed, and unfortunately we never took action on it. We discussed the possibility of factoring in subsidy payments. We didn't. So we left ourselves a starting point that was pretty skewed. And now that those $2 years are falling off and we're adding on $5, $6, $7 corn, we see this rapid increase in our assessments. So I think our first solution should be to look at that and maybe address the problem there and finding better data. Next we can extend our years. At any rate, I really question whether the right solution is for us now, arbitrarily without the benefit of vetting it through the discussion and using the advisory task force, that we just arbitrarily increase the cap, regardless of what counties they apply to. So for those reasons, I'm certainly think it's worth the discussion, and I'm not going to fall on my sword either way, but I'm leaning toward opposing this amendment and allowing the process to continue that we set forth when we started the production system. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your patience.
Yes. Further discussion on House Bill 1098. We do have a motion that has been on the amendment and has been seconded, but we have not taken action on that, and I will wait on that for further discussion. Senator Furries.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think the amendment obviously is an attempt to kind of make things a little more smooth through this process. And aside from whether or not anybody agrees with the bill, hopefully we can at least just get the amendment on there and go forward with that effort, because I think it makes it a little bit more appealing. I don't see anything in the amendment that makes the bill any more in the opponent's favor by putting it on. So if we support the amendment.
Further discussion on House Bill 1098. Seeing none, I am, again, we do have a motion before you. This is a voice vote. There's a motion to amend House Bill 1098 with 1098FC. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1098 is so amended. Further discussion. Senator Valley.
Well, this is a dilemma. We gave the task force the authority to come back to us with suggestions to make sure it's working correctly, and I think we all realized when we put this together that there was going to be some tweaking out there that needed to be done, because envisioning everything that was going to happen, I can relate this to when I started something new in any business I was in. You start a new program and I tell the owner, he'd say, "Are you ready to run it out?" And I'd say, "Yep." He says, "Anything going to go wrong?" I says, "Yep, I just don't know what it is. Something's going to go wrong. I just can't tell you what it is. We've done everything we possibly can, but I'll tell you after we run it what happened. But something will go wrong, even with the best possible efforts." And so that's why this task force was set up, to try and ameliorate the problems that might come up. However, we've got this now amended bill, which is much preferable to the original bill that we discussed a week ago. But I'm not sure this is this is a place to do that. I think we gave that to the task force to come back with those suggestions, and so I'm trying to decide if the task force is behind the curve or if we're getting ahead of the curve. Thank you.
Further discussion on House Bill 1098 as amended. Senator Bogalka.
Thank you. I appreciate the amendment and the bill, and I really think we need to do something this year.
The original bill said taxes payable in 2011, 2012, etc. And, of course, we realized that 2011 was already passed. And I did get my assessments in the mail last week. Apparently, we can't affect taxes payable in 2012. But if we don't pass a bill here, we're not going to even be affecting. If we wait till next year, we're not even going to be affecting taxes payable in 2013. And we look at this chart, for heaven's sakes, we've got Lake County 303% out of whack on non-cropland. And, you know, if we only go 10% a year, it's going to take 30 years to straighten that one out. And there's a couple others that are over 100% off. So I really believe we need to do try to do this little fix this year. Thank you.
Further discussion on House Bill 1098 as amended. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And obviously, a number of us believe in the process, and we know that the task force will be meeting again shortly, but I can only echo the comments of my friend from Clear Lake, who just really pointed out, I mean, let's not try to wait any longer. If we can try to get a little bit ahead of the curve, I do not at all think this is reckless. I think it's a good step in the right direction. We understand that something needs to be addressed. But more importantly, we know we need to have some fairness, especially for the non-crop land side of things, where there are some adjustments that need to be made, and we need to balance things out. So with that, I urge support of the bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Further discussion and or action on House Bill 1098. Senator Roden, then Senator Hansen.
Madam Chair, I move that we defer House Bill 1098 to the 41st legislative day.
So motion for deferral to the 41st day by Senator Roden, seconded by by Garnos. Comments on the deferral motion. Senator Roden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I already made a comment of my position on this, but again, I believe that if the worst case scenario is that we end up with a 10% cap for one more year, that's not that outrageous. And I think that it is pertinent that we allow the chance for the legislation we passed a couple years ago to work. And I'm very confident in the personalities and the characters that we've had on that advisory task force, and I think this year will be no exception. There are a number of quality people, including Senator Jim Peterson, who have expressed interest in coming back onto the committee, and so let them do their job. Thank you.
Senator Hansen, comments on the difference. Excuse me, let me rephrase this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can think of all kinds of reasons to support this bill, to oppose the 41st day motion. And I can also think of all kinds of reasons why it's still too early for this bill at this time. And I guess that I will come down firmly on both sides of the fence there. But I believe that we should support the 41st day motion. I think that there's a couple of things that I override in my mind, one of which is, as has been said, you know, we have 1 year of experience, and we don't know for sure if we have now reached a new plane of commodity prices and crop yields. And I've been at this point several times in the past and have learned that that's not exactly the way things turned out. So, there's some wisdom in providing one more year to, just from experience of yield and commodity prices. There's also, again, the slight degree of discomfort that I have in doing something which, even though, you know, as Representative Dennert says, and I believe, you know, Representative Dennert is probably one of the most sincere people to, you know, work really hard to make this transition to the productivity means of arriving at a method for putting a taxable value on agricultural property. And he's a member of the oversight force, as is Senator Roden. That group also, I think, is very dedicated to make this, make this transition work. In some ways, in my own mind, I'm not too sure, but what we could make the entire move to full productivity right now. and it would not be all that serious of a deviation from the amount of tax that each piece of agricultural property pays because of various caps that are put in place on the amount of dollars that can generate for local government, the ratio of agricultural property relative to residential and commercial property for financing elementary and secondary education. So, you know, that's an option on the other side, but I think for several reasons, I believe that the motion to the 41st day is appropriate.
Further comments on the deferral motion? Senator Bogalka.
Madam Chair, I would like to make a substitute motion and do pass.
Substitute motion by Senator Bogalka, seconded by Senator Furicks. Comments on the do pass motion by Senator Bogalka?
Thank you. I guess I don't see the logic in waiting another year, and this only affects those that are 45% or more. We're not really tinkering it with in any major way. That's just a handful of counties, and that this is going to affect, and I believe it's going to get us better where we want to be quicker. So I appreciate your support. Thank you.
Further comments on the substitute motion of a do pass on 1098?
Do pass as amended.
Excuse me, do pass as amended. Thank you, Senator Roden. Further discussion on the do pass motion as amended on House Bill 1098. Seeing none, the motion before you is a do pass motion on House Bill 1098 as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Furicks.
Aye.
Frisley.
No.
Garnas.
No.
Hansen.
No.
Roden.
No.
Valley.
No.
Maher. Krebs.
No.
The do pass motion fails to receive a majority vote. Further discussion and action on House Bill 1098 as amended.
Gets us back to the 41st day.
That's right. Thank you. Back to the original motion of a deferral action by Senator Roden of deferral action to the 41st day. Further comments on the deferral action to the 41st day. Seeing none, the motion before you is deferral to the 41st day on House Bill 1098 as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Bogalka?
No.
Furicks?
No.
Frisley?
Aye.
Garnas?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Roden?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Maher? Krebs?
Aye.
House Bill 1098 has been deferred to the 41st day. Are there no other items on the agenda at this time? We have a pretty short list for coming up on Thursday, the 24th. We have one bill on the agenda so far. We have House Bill 1047, which is an act to revise certain prairie dog shootings, the seasonal provisions. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn. Senator Frisley, motion to adjourn, seconded by Senator Bogalka. All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate Ag is now adjourned.